Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And I'm so excited today because we're talking to someone in Dublin. And for those of you who aren't watching, yes, I do have that history. People look at me and they say, are you Irish? You know, with red hair and the freckles. Yeah. And I have been to Dublin. I think it is absolutely fabulous. I would move there in a second. So I love that I have a connection there now. So please join me in welcoming all the way from Dublin, John Rankin, to our program today. Welcome, John.
Good morning, Deb. Thank you.
Well, let me tell people a little bit about you and then we will dive into this. So John Rankin is a qualified business systems analyst, qualifying in 1998 in the UK. He has studied a version of trait psychoanalysis and an oriental methodology of how personalities interact. He spent 5 years studying under a professor from Beijing University, qualifying in 1998. Realizing that most problems in work are caused by clashes of personalities, John designed and built an online SaaS that can be accessed globally to help business leaders to make better informed and unbiased decisions in director and key employee selection. So again, John, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning again.
Well, you know, you and I met online and through a networking group that we belong to. And when we were talking, I was just absolutely fascinated with what you do, because it is about figuring out how teams of people interact and work well together, or in some cases don't work well together. But before we really start talking about this, tell us a little bit more about how it is that you got to where you are today and how you discovered that this is your passion in life.
Oh, that's a long story insofar as my family were very, different. They all, you know, there is a saying, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I had one of those families that we were all very individualistic and had very strong opinions. So one had to be passionate and stand up for oneself. Throughout my working life, also, there were situations where in a particular job, a manager conflicted with me. He also made it very difficult for me in work. And eventually I was asked to leave, that I was accused of stealing money. I had never done anything per se, you know, that was that could be considered conflicting with this particular person. But yes, I left the job, went to work elsewhere, and within a matter of about 6 weeks, it had been realized that it wasn't, you know, I wasn't the culprit. It was mm-hmm. the person who actually complained about me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was kind of one instance. But then my father went into business with his best friend, mm-hmm. and he ended up going into hospital, triple bypass surgery. So all his clients, all his business, he started worrying about it, put himself mm-hmm. under huge stress. And when he came out, it was a case of you know, I don't want to work with you again, you know, mm-hmm. and the partnership fell apart, mm-hmm. but also the friendship fell apart.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So, you know, sort of stress and pressure can, you know, affect people, can impose that kind of conflict within mm-hmm. a relationship, especially mm-hmm. when there's a personality shift.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's many, many situations, you know, that I was in like that, mm-hmm. or that I observed and was able to, you kind of realize, okay, these two people just can't seem to get on.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why. And, mm-hmm. you know, as I say, you know, I came across by chance this professor, and he started explaining things, showed me how they do things mm-hmm. in the Orient.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of it was very, very ancient knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I then learned trait psychology
mm-hmm.
and, you know, was able to put the two things together mm-hmm. that gave me a platform to actually identify and then realize what was going on or predict mm-hmm. the personalities
mm-hmm.
and the relationship. So that was, you know, basically the way I kind of got started
mm-hmm.
into then realizing that businesses needed this service, mm-hmm. you know, that you got the bias out of, you know, whether people said, oh, I like you, so I'm going to give you the job,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then put them into a team where mm-hmm. it just wouldn't work.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's basically the short version.
I love it, you know, and we all have been members of teams, companies, you know, whatever it is, where we get along really well with some people. And other people, it doesn't matter. We just clash with them. But then the really funny thing is sometimes we do our best work with them, you know, and it's kind of like the yin and yang and things like that. But, you know, it's, I think in many cases, companies, teams, nonprofits, whatever, you know, we don't get to choose who those people are. And so we're just all thrown together and kind of, you know, the sink or swim attitude. And then we don't understand why things don't work. You know, and so talk to us a little bit more about that.
Most of the time, people will, if they clash with us, mm-hmm. we tend to react and,
right.
and push back against that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what do you mean I'm stupid?
Yeah. You know, or why are you always picking on me? You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of pushback, and then that mm-hmm. sets up the conflict,
mm-hmm.
and it can progressively get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, yes, as you say, people are picked for their qualifications, they're picked mm-hmm. for their knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and they're expected. You know, the in most job, what would you call it? You know, notifications, mm-hmm. they say, needs to be a good communicator.
Right. It's almost always in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in any business school, they do look at psychometric testing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they will do psychometric testing for the people. Sometimes they have maybe 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. different testing methodologies. Mm-hmm. And they say, you're this type of person
mm-hmm.
and you're like X amount of the population and you behave like this.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize that other people make us behave in right. certain ways.
Right. We're, you know, reacting.
So, mm-hmm. We're reacting. So sometimes it's very positive mm-hmm. and sometimes it's very negative. And if we come out of an argument, we might say to our friend, I don't understand this person. You know, I don't understand why they're reacting this way or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's within a matter of a couple of seconds. You might act in a very angry way with mm-hmm. one person, and then turn to your friend and say, you know, something, you know, very soft, you know, in a normal voice without raising,
mm-hmm.
You know, raising your voice. So it's understanding the different personalities, how mm-hmm. they fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're able to build a team where you're not biased. You're not saying, well, I like you, as I right. said before.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, I know you're going to be able to work well with this person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put the two of you together.
Mm-hmm.
So you're building then with purpose, with knowledge, with mm-hmm. assurance that you're picking a team that's going to be balanced. Mm-hmm. You can then have opposite opinions, mm-hmm. you know, where under, you know, if it's just those two people together, yes, mm-hmm. they would clash. But if you build it within a structured team mm-hmm. where you're supporting each mm-hmm. person on the team, then you'll have a more balanced approach. Mm-hmm. It is the basis of diversity and inclusion, you know, because mm-hmm. it's not the outward signs of difference. Mm-hmm. It's how people think. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the reason they're picking people from different countries, different parts of the world mm-hmm. is because they think, you know, the people think they're going to think mm-hmm. differently.
Right.
You know, whereas they could pick those exact same people mm-hmm. from within their own country and, you know, sort of have the same diversity. Mm-hmm. So, right. you know, so it's knowing the different personalities, how they fit together, and then knowing how to pick them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's quite simple in a way.
Yeah, it's simple and complicated all at the same time. You know, because it makes sense when we talk through mm-hmm. it. But it is, you know, it's tricky when you're forced to have those people, you know, for whatever mm-hmm. reason, you know, and or you're one of the people, you're not the person in charge, you know, all of those various things. And it was funny, we as I mentioned, we chatted before, and one of the things I think, you know, at least here in the States, you know, in many times, especially when you go to work for a larger organization, you get to take those personality tests. And I hated those personality tests. You know, and yes, I know that they have their purpose, but I'm also the type of person who, as I'm taking the tests, which were never short, and I'm saying that specifically, you know, so they're long and they're complicated. I'm always taking those thinking, now I can't answer it the way I want to answer it. I need to answer it in the way that the company wants me to answer it. So, you know, I need to answer it that, you know, I'm always the people person. I'm the go-getter. I'm the problem solver, you know, all of those various things. And then I always, you know, because there's, you know, some of these things have hundreds of questions, it seems like anyway, I'm always thinking, where are they trying to trip me up? They're trying to catch me, you know, answering one question one way. And when they reword the same question, I answer it a different way. And so then they, you know, and so I hated those things. I felt that they never really showed the true me because I was trying to game the system. You know, and I took it's not a test, but I took your I'm going to call it a test for now. And the first thing was, it took me less than 5 minutes. It was just like, holy schmoly. I mean, you know, I was ready. I was going to spend as much time as I needed to. And I'm like, that's it. There's not a next button. I mean, you know, and there were 30 questions, maybe. I mean, this was very, very short. And so that impressed me. But it also, you know, it wasn't one of those things where I was trying to figure out what I needed to say that you wanted to hear. And I wasn't also trying to figure out how it was trying to trick me. And so I was just very impressed with the process that you've come up with.
It's different because, as you say, in psychometric testing, mm-hmm. They're repeating the same questions in different ways. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for validation. Mm-hmm. They could do, if people were honest and answered the questions honestly, right. Yes, you could have right. as little as 30 questions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sort of it's usually 80, 90, mm-hmm. 100, 110. Mm-hmm. You know, all they're doing is validating the core mm-hmm. number of questions that mm-hmm. they really want. So, you know, I realize this. You know, all the questions that I ask are emotionally based, mm-hmm. you know, how you feel. I then understand, you know, sort of your basic personality. I can then look at, well, what would your opposite be? What would you look like if you were under continual stress? Mm-hmm. What would you look like if you're under stress? Mm-hmm. And how does that impact? And because I'm looking at two people mm-hmm. or more, it's how are you going to interact with the other person? Mm-hmm. So it's all about the relationship. Mm-hmm. It's all about what happens between mm-hmm. the people. Yes, I give you a report saying this is your personality. This is mm-hmm. what happens. Yeah, you know, as I say, when you go under stress or continual stress, mm-hmm. And, you know, so with some people, it's they actually go through all those stages in any given day, mm-hmm. you know, depending on what's happening in their life. But they're using their personality. They understand who they are. Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, this is how I operate. Mm-hmm. And this is how I interact with this person. And I'm very comfortable in this relationship. And, you know, you're then looking at retaining mm-hmm. that person or that relationship, because the likelihood of them leaving, or one person leaving, mm-hmm. is going to be very unlikely, because mm-hmm. they don't know if they go to another job or another company, they might end up working with someone they hate, or who hate, even worse, mm-hmm. who hates them. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're trying to explain all the different relationships, mm-hmm. and especially when you're dealing with a board of directors,
right?
You know, and with corporate governance, they have to rotate mm-hmm. the directors every couple of years. Mm-hmm. So getting a new person in, yes, they might be hugely experienced and everything else, but it could be a situation where they could be totally disruptive to the board, or even to the chairman or president of the company, and cause endless problems. Mm-hmm. So that's when you start talking about a toxic culture, mm-hmm. you know, and it can be within teams as well, mm-hmm. you know, where you have good people, but they just can't work. Mm-hmm. So, right. Yeah, it's very revealing mm-hmm. when you're looking at relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, right. And then because you're looking at relationships outside of you, yes, you have your own mm-hmm. opinions, but you can then say, oh, I know those people are going to work together, or I know there's going to be a clash. I know mm-hmm. how to manage
right.
that.
Right.
Or that person's under stress. Mm-hmm. I know how they're then going to think and operate mm-hmm. and, you know, sort of maybe cause problems or mm-hmm. maybe, you know, gang up against me. You know, sort of all that sort of mm-hmm. thing that takes sometimes years mm-hmm. To actually figure out, especially on a board of directors,
right.
But within in a team, you know, people are, they have a probation period. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's there is to see, are they going to fit in?
Right.
Are they going to fit mm-hmm. into the culture?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all that you can do through this report.
Right. You know, and it's interesting because I see disruptive and toxic as two different things. Disruptive can be very positive in many ways, yes. because you know, we don't always want people to agree with us. It's the people who say, yes, but, that sometimes help us get the most done. You know, whatever the circumstance is, you know, they make us, in many cases, they make us just rethink our own position. You know, is it right? You know, I deal with a lot of companies that tell us, well, but this is the way we've always done it. That disruptor is the person who says, okay, that worked, but now let's think about something different. And, you know, and we're obviously really seeing a lot of that now post-COVID, you know, with so many different ways that we're having to function. The toxic person is that person that is just, you don't want them. You know, they're the person who is continually undermining. It's, you know, a lot of times they're very self-centered. You know, all of these various things. And so it's interesting to try and figure out, okay, are they disruptive in a positive way, or are they disruptive in being toxic?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the way you build, you know, I mean, people talk in terms of having a balance in work and life, but also you need a balance in a team, you know, so there might be people on the team who don't talk, you know, mm-hmm. sort of, and the reason a lot of this happens is because they don't feel that they're being supported.
Right.
They're, you know, sort of, you have a saying, you know, oh, he's got my back. You mm-hmm. know, really, you know, if you build a team where each person in the team has someone else's back, mm-hmm. then they'll encourage that the person they're supporting to actually talk, you know, even by saying, oh, come on, you have a good idea, you know, mm-hmm. speak up. Mm-hmm. You know, so people will speak up, but also if you have the reason you get a toxic culture is because one person who might be very dominant mm-hmm. might control other people on the board or within the mm-hmm. team and basically bully them mm-hmm. you know, and say, well, no, this is, we're doing this my way. So it's going to be my way or the highway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So again, you know, knowing the personalities, knowing how they interact, and whether you've got a balanced, supportive team, then you're sort of literally you can do anything once you have that that knowledge and that assurance mm-hmm. of how people are, and it's less likely they're going to go under stress or continual stress unless it's something outside, you know, right. maybe a family issue or mm-hmm. a health issue or a finance issue, you know, maybe something, or maybe something's happened to one of their kids, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, you're always looking and understanding what's happening mm-hmm. within the group,
right.
rather than looking at individuals mm-hmm. and, you know, not understanding why they're behaving in such a way.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, it's, we talk about group dynamics, but I think most yeah. people have absolutely no idea what that means. And a group can be two. I mean, you know, it's, you know, my husband and I are opposites. We've been married almost 30 years. So clearly something is working. But, you know, you also have, you know, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a business partnership, like you were talking about, where opposites really are not going to work. And I think, you know, obviously one of the big things is that we learn, you know, okay, this person is my opposite. So I need to make sure that their opinion is heard. I need to make sure that I'm not overpowering, you know, all of those things. I mean, you know, and we'll talk about my results here in a second from the test. But I mean, I'm clearly one of those kind of take charge type of people. I was talking with somebody earlier on another call today that a lot of times women are called bossy. And then there's that other B word that they tend to toss in there. And, you know, but bossy is not a bad thing. You know, it's just learning how to work with that. And so it's helpful to know that we, you know, if we have that in our own personality. But, you know, I mentioned COVID. What have you discovered? You know, and we've got the great resignation going on also. And it's interesting that, you know, we hear about it a lot here in the States, but it is something that's worldwide. I think a lot of people, you know, are taking stock, you know, when they were home, when they weren't in those environments, and they're figuring that's not what I want to do. That's not who I want to be around. So how have things in the last 2 years really shifted?
I mean, it's huge. As you say, people have realized that they don't want to be in a situation, certainly not one of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's, you know, on the rise is this wellness, you know, mm-hmm. where people, you know, they're talking, yes, in terms of work-life balance, mm-hmm. but also, you know, sort of they know that the health of their employees, the health of their fellow directors mm-hmm. Needs to be good. You know, mm-hmm. if people are under stress, then they end up with stress-related illnesses.
Right.
And they can be very, very serious. Anything mm-hmm. from a heart attack to someone, mm-hmm. you know, like I've heard directors saying, yeah, I put my back out, you know, and I
right.
don't know
yeah.
how
things
I did.
Things that
it.
You wouldn't think are work related
yeah.
are.
Mm-hmm. Are, you know, and people have realized that, yeah, in a lot of cases, they're in a toxic culture. They are working for a boss they don't like or who they know doesn't like them.
Mm-hmm.
They're resentful of this, and they stay in the job because they don't think, or in some cases, they don't believe that they'll get as good a job.
Right. Or they
so,
have to. I mean, you know, they need the benefits. They need the pay. I mean, you know, yeah.
So they've realized by this kind of step back, you know, where they're in their home, they're in maybe mm-hmm. in some cases a very supportive environment.
Mm-hmm.
But what people tend to do is they complain to either their closest friend
mm-hmm.
or to their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the partner just says, well, look, if you're that unhappy, why don't you leave?
Right. Do
you
something.
Mm-hmm. Do something. You know, and, you know, people have come to the realization, oh, yeah, you know, I can leave, mm-hmm. you know, or I can go for that interview without, you know, being missed from the office,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I can do a Zoom call, mm-hmm. you know, where, you know, so that nobody knows that I'm actually looking for another job. But, you know, at the base, at the very core of it, is the relationship that those people have with the other people in the group, in the team, on the board. You know, and, you know, sort of, if they realized, you know, sort of, or sorry, if the employer realized that, yeah, I can look at a team and look at supporting my key employees or my key people in order to retain them, then you wouldn't have had such a mass exodus of people in this great resignation. And as you say, it's global. It's global. I mean, even you know, sort of, I'm even hearing of CEOs resigning. Because, you know, people from nonprofit, from charities and things like that, just who can't get on with their fellow directors or fellow employees. So, you know, sort of, it's not an isolation. It's not, you know, hospitality or, you know, entertainment or whatever. It's, you know, right across industry. You know, and it's because people were picked just to, you know, for their qualifications. They weren't picked to fit in.
Yeah, that you looked at somebody's resume and and checked the boxes, you know, and so, and then you made them take one of those other personality tests and you went, oh, they're a XYZ, whatever person, they'll fit in, you know, and they were like me, they gamed the system, you know, and, you know, one of the things that, that I really wonder about is, and I, because I think we're going to have to deal with this going forward, is how we worked together when we were together, so in the same office, and now that it's remote, I mean, how has that skewed things? I mean, you know, are people, I mean, it's very easy to, especially on, say, Zoom calls, you turn your camera off, you zone out, you're not paying attention, you're not participating. Yeah, and you can't really do that on in, you know, yeah, you can on an in-person meeting. But how are the dynamics changing, especially if we don't go back into actually being physically together?
One of the biggest problems is a thing called the fear of missing out.
FOMO.
And FOMO. Yeah, and people, you know, sort of, because they, you know, a lot of our communication is nonverbal. Okay. So they don't always see what's happening with the person, you know, as you say, they might switch the camera off or say, you know, sort of, oh, my room's messy, you know, I've got to switch things, you know. So it's this fear of missing out, you know, is causing a lot of anxiety. And because they know, oh, well, I know my manager doesn't like me, or I've just come into a new employment and I'm trying to figure out the personalities that I'm dealing with. So there's a lot of uncertainty. So between the uncertainty and the anxiety, it's just adding fuel to the fire, you know, so that you know, people are getting stressed. And with one company that I was dealing with, a global IT gaming company, they had employees, you know, sort of script writers, visual artists, and so forth and so on, programmers, marketing people, and everything else. But they were spread from, they had some in India, they had Liechtenstein, Italy, Portugal, Malta, Ireland, and then over in Argentina. And, you know, because of the pandemic, the CEO couldn't travel. You know, and he used to spend several months a year traveling to the different offices, dealing with situations, problems. But when I, you know, sort of, when he employed me to do up a report, he was able to see, okay, who would actually work well with who? Did they have the right sort of lines of communication, that something that was being designed then was being programmed, but the two people got on well together, so they were able to discuss through any particular issues or problems. And in the report, it turned out that one of two people who were in the Portugal office was under continual stress. And he was going, you know, why is this? You know, he's a good guy, he's well qualified and everything else. And anyway, that's what it showed up in the report. So he came back to me a couple of days later and told me, actually, it's very funny. This particular guy is married to the woman who is also working in the same office. But because of the pandemic, they were stuck in a small apartment. His old apartment, you know, he was stressing that they didn't have enough space, mm-hmm. wanted to find a bigger place for them to move to, and it was just causing him stress, you know. Mm-hmm. So his whole focus was on something that was just playing on his mind. So he wasn't totally focused on his work. Mm-hmm. Within a matter of a month, the owner, you know, who was here in Ireland, was able to locate a bigger apartment mm-hmm. through contacts that he had. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, so all the stress was gone. Great.
Right.
You know, they could move. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was still able to deal with the people, mm-hmm. deal with their issues in a very positive, productive way mm-hmm. once he knew what was wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, so it impacts, you know, sort of, and, you know, sort of, with a lot of people now in this kind of remote working situation, you know, again, it's very, very important to put in those support structures. Mm-hmm. But it's people. It's how people feel. You know, like we all walk our own path, mm-hmm. but it's who our companion is going to make that journey easier mm-hmm. or not. So it's another, you know, bit of philosophy there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Just to, you know, once people know, you know, how to build supportive teams mm-hmm. that also allow for that conflict, mm-hmm. then you can have all the different types of people, all the different personalities, mm-hmm. and there's a lot more than just 16. Mm-hmm. You know, when you take the different levels, mm-hmm. you're into thousands of mm-hmm. different permutations.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about the report. So,
yeah.
First, just give me let's give our listeners and our viewers a couple sample questions. Tell us what, you know, some of the things that you ask.
Well, one, you know, would be, do you like international travel? You know, it's the reason for that question is you find out if people say yes, then you know, right, these people are interested in other people, other cultures. So, you know, like it has a reflective back. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's emotional, they're thinking maybe of their last holiday, mm-hmm. you know, and how they felt about it. Mm-hmm. Another one is, do you like criticism? Or can mm-hmm. you handle criticism? Mm-hmm. Some people say yes, you know, because they can, you know, it depends. Mm-hmm. People tend to think of situations, mm-hmm. you know, so they put their own story on the questions. Mm-hmm. And think of situations they've been in, whatever. Mm-hmm. Another one is that they believe things were better in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're looking, you know, do the people live in the past? You know, are they unhappy now? Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are questions that then translate into, mm-hmm. right, the person's under stress or under continual stress.
Right.
So things like that, you know, they might seem very, very innocent, mm-hmm. but because people are putting their own story, you know, on the questions mm-hmm. and knowing that it's the relationship with someone else, mm-hmm. so they're kind of going, well, I can't lie, you know, because it might say that I'm not compatible with this other person, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, you're always looking for, you know, sort of that what people really feel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so, you know, like one person might say, yes, I'm a brainstormer, you know, mm-hmm. and pick on that particular question, mm-hmm. whereas someone else will pick on a question that will show that they're a researcher. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know that researchers don't get on with brainstormers because right. brainstormers are, you know, oh, give me the answer. You know, I'm full of ideas, mm-hmm. you know, I need the answer. Whereas the researcher says, oh, I need to go away and check that. Mm-hmm. You know. But
yeah, I think that's a question I said no to. You know, no, I don't like.
Yeah. So it's you know, you're all the time trying to mm-hmm. get to how the person feels. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, they do try. You know, I've had people who do try and manipulate, mm-hmm. and it actually shows up. It says mm-hmm. this person is being evasive. Mm-hmm. You know, they've answered all the questions in a certain way that is mm-hmm. very evasive. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you know, I've even asked on one or two occasions, I've asked the person to re-answer the questions.
Ah.
You know, I've said, mm-hmm. this is not about you. This is mm-hmm. not, you know, trying to find fault with your personality or with some relationship. It, you know, it's really about how, you know, maybe you're going to be promoted, how you're going to work or fit into the next team. So you're always, you know, sort of looking for people to answer honestly without being nervous that, you know, it's going to be detrimental.
Right. You know, and I love that, you know, it was a yes or no, or maybe. I love the fact that you had the option in there for maybe, because, you know, I'd read it and I go, well, sometimes. and so that was when I answered maybe. It was like, you know, it depended on the situation, things like that. So, you know, I've got my report here in front of me. And then we also had my producer take it because, you know, she and I work well together. And we've worked together now for 4 years. We're getting ready to start our fifth year, I believe, of working together. And she and I have never met in person. You know, it's all been virtual. And so it was very interesting to see, because I happen to think we work well together. She must too, or she would have said, go away. But we'd hope to have her on. And unfortunately, it didn't work out with the schedule. But, you know, let's kind of go through, you know, just a couple things on mine. There really, you know, there wasn't anything that surprised me, but, you know, kind of from your perspective, talk about some of the things.
Okay. Well, I mean, you are a very mentor type person, which comes out in the report. And your producer is an organizer. So she would organize. Now, the thing is that part of your personality and part of hers is the same. You know, in other words, she also has a mentoring side. So a lot of the thought process would be very similar. You'd probably come to the same conclusions, probably have very similar opinions. And in that way, would be able to communicate very well. But you would be a supporting personality to her personality, to her main personality. And this would be a very comfortable relationship where, yes, you would do certain things, but she would then go away and organize. So it works out very, very well for, you know, what you're doing and the fact that you can work remotely and can communicate very, very, very well.
And that's exactly what we do. I'm like, Kim, I need you. Here's what I want. Go do. And she goes, kaboom, 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 kaboom. And you know, people have asked me, well, how much oversight do I give her? And I said, none. when we initially started working together, yes. I mean, you know, we just needed to work out some of the details. But now it's like, okay, you know, she gets it done. So there isn't oversight needed. I might ask her, you know, what do you do? But, you know, I'm, you know, and that's the nice thing. I mean, if I had to manage what she was doing, I might as well do it myself. And so knowing that she just does it and does it well, you know, it's, you know, I don't have to worry about it at all.
But that's exactly what comes up in the report. You know, that, you know, sort of, yes, you have ideas. Yes, you've saying, yeah, let's try this, let's do this. Can you organize? And she just goes away and organizes because that's in her personality. And as long as she develops that, you know, and knows who she is, then she can strengthen that particular trait in what she does. So yeah, it's you can identify all these different things in people. And you know, as I say, it's knowing how they fit together. Now that said, I would say that your producer is actually quite a relaxed person. Okay. Yes, she can do. She's relaxed. She's probably, you know, very, very organized. Where there are other people who internally, they have a character that is a stressed character. It's almost like it drives them. And, you know, they just can't sit down. They can't sit still. They're always on the move, you know, but you know, it's particular types of personalities where the main personality and the secondary personality would be actually opposites, and it just drives people. You know, there are other personalities where one is very close to the other or very similar, and they tend to be almost horizontal. You know, you feel, come on, you know, you've got to move, you've got to, you know, and they need outside motivation. But, you know, and then there's others who, you know, would almost, you'd say, they're a continual studier, or, you know, I had one couple who were in business where she was highly, highly organized. And the husband, you know, who at the time of doing the profile, I didn't realize her husband and wife, she was getting terribly, terribly frustrated and actually went to a coach who then contacted me to say, look, can you do up a report, you know, to show how the coach got on with this particular client? Because he said, I'll tell you afterwards. And what he told me was it had taken him five sessions, you know, 5 1-hour sessions to actually get to understand the person. And he then thought it'd be very funny if he gave it to me and to see what I would come up with. And it turned out that the husband was extremely diplomatic. And when the wife said, you know, well, what do you think we should do? He would say, well, we could do this or we could do that. And he used to drive her crazy because she just wanted one answer, you know, of what to do. You know, so, you know, when the report, when I sent her the report, she got on to me the first thing in the morning and said, I should have been a marriage guidance counselor. And I should have actually twigged it then that it was her husband, you know, because they had two totally different names. So, yeah, the coach came back to me then in the afternoon and said, my report had given him the answer in just one report, whereas it had taken him 5 1-hour sessions before he could then actually start, you know, talking and coaching the woman. It ended up anyway that they decided they'd split from the business. And in doing so, they saved the marriage, you know, because needless to say, if they couldn't agree on work, they were bringing that same disagreement home in the evening. So, yeah, you know, like you're looking to help people rather than say you're at fault or you're wrong or whatever. It's just a different way of looking at how the relationship is. And as you so rightly said, we do need people who go, yes, but, you know, but if it's within a supportive team, it means that you then facilitate all the different voices within that supportive team.
You know, and what I love about the report is it helps us understand ourselves, you know, and how, you know, and so not just, gee, how am I going to work with Kim? But, you know, there were things in there and I mean, it really was uncanny how you got this from just those few questions. I mean, I like this one. I may focus on the aspects of the job that interest them the most and finish other parts too quickly. And what you should have also said in there was, or ignore them.
Well, I
trying
to be PC here.
Right. You know, and I mean, there were other things in there that, you know, I look at it and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, and so, or things like, I think I'm one way, but when you really examine it, I'm not. You know, and so, yeah, it was like, here was one, may shy away from management supervisory role as it may put them outside the team. And, you know, we mentioned before that, you know, I'm sometimes bossy, but at the same point, I want to be, and this is, you know, me, I want to be part of that team. I want to be included. And many times when you're the boss, you're not. I mean, you know, let's go back to, you know, when we were actually in offices and we met with people, you know, you got along really well, but when everybody went out for drinks or out for lunch, the boss was never included. You know, and for, you know, a variety of reasons, but yeah, it's like, oh yeah, you know, I don't like that feeling. You know, I didn't, you know, I don't like it when I'm not included. So yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, there were so many things in here that was like, oh, this is really interesting.
Some people actually deny, oh, I'm not like that. Or, you know, I'm sort of one I get regularly is I'm a great judge of character. Yeah. You know, but that's for you know, that's a biased opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're picking a team, you know, especially in larger organizations, or even sometimes in simple cases like the merger of two businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, I've dealt with legal firms here where, because of Brexit, mm-hmm. you know, people have, you know, shifted offices mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. Dublin, and they look at taking an interest or share in an existing law firm, mm-hmm. and it turns out, so they do the negotiations, everything hunky dory, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, you know, sort of there's clashes, and mm-hmm. you know, so they're going, yeah, but we sorted everything out, mm-hmm. except the people, mm-hmm. they, you know, like they don't. When they talk about doing people due diligence, mm-hmm. they're talking in terms of asking someone for their opinion mm-hmm. about key individuals or the chairman or whatever within an organization or the board of directors. And they don't say, how are these people going to fit into this organization?
Right.
And I've had, you know, like one was a major bank here mm-hmm. in Dublin where the actual negotiator was a very senior manager within the particular mm-hmm. banking group. Mm-hmm. And he negotiated for a company to merge in mm-hmm. with his department. Mm-hmm. And it ended up that he, over the next 6 to 9 months, mm-hmm. would find out if the person he negotiated with was actually going to be in the office. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't, then this person would come in. Mm-hmm. But if he would go, you know, if he knew that the person was there, mm-hmm. he would avoid going into the office. And mm-hmm. this went on for well over 6 months. Mm-hmm. He worked out that he cost the company somewhere in the region of about 600,000.
Oh.
You know, by not, you know, sort of mm-hmm. going in or not going in or whatever. And then when he eventually left, he negotiated a settlement. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was very, very generous. Mm-hmm. And he took three key clients that he'd been mm-hmm. nurturing and mm-hmm. going to work with away with him. And he reckoned that each one was going to be worth at least $1 million to him over the next year. Mm-hmm. So he walked out costing the company, you know, mm-hmm. over Millions. $3.5 million. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, so if you roll that up, they were fintech companies. Mm-hmm. So if one of them became a unicorn, he was then happy. You know, he was going to make millions upon millions. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's because he wasn't managed properly. And even when he complained mm-hmm. to his to one of the senior directors, mm-hmm. he was told, "Look, we'll find something different for you. Just mm-hmm. you know, relax. You know, sort of enjoy the ride, so to speak." Mm-hmm. And he wasn't. Yeah, it totally mismanaged, and as a result, it cost the business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah.
Well, and you know, have you found sometimes? I mean, this is probably a good example of that. Times where it is not going to work. You know, it's just, you know, with the current dynamics that are there, X person or people need to go. You know, have you come across that where it's just like, you know what, as we would say here in the States, you need to fish or cut bait. Well, now it's the time we have to cut bait. You know, and so do you find times where you tell people this is not going to work?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, quite often, in actual fact. Mm-hmm. Again, if I can give an example, mm-hmm. you know, an engineering company here in Ireland had a problem. I was just called in, we have a problem with our board of management. Mm-hmm. So I profiled all the people on the board, mm-hmm. and it turned out that the production manager mm-hmm. was conflicting with, so the conflict was going from the production manager mm-hmm. to the general manager. Mm-hmm. So I gave them the report, and they said, okay, we'll ask the general manager to change the way he actually operates and mm-hmm. how he manages. And I said,
that's going to work.
I'm telling you, it's not going to work, you know. So anyway, they came back to me about a month and a half later and said, look, it's not working. You know, so what we tried didn't work. Mm-hmm. So you know, what should we do? Should we let the production manager go or the general manager? And I said, well, look, the general manager has only been in there 7 months. But at this stage, I think it was eight and a half months. But I said, if the production manager goes, he is very closely connected, or I would say there's a good relationship between him and the sales manager. So if you if you lose one, you're going to lose the other. So they said, okay, give us a week or so. We're going to check this out. They came back and said, we've let the general manager go. We've given him his severance pay, gone off happy. He said, but we found out that the production manager held a key account. And if we got rid of him, key account would have gone, and the sales manager, which would have meant, you know, sort of just technically on paper, it was 620,000. But if the sales manager had gone, it, that would have increased. And then the likelihood that the company folded was there at the loss of 120 jobs. So, you know, they were able to then get back that key account, but give it to one of the directors to actually manage and actually save the company, which I found out last week was sold for a very nice profit. So, you know, like, it had a happy ending, but initially, you know, it was just conflict, and they were trying to manage that conflict over the space of 6, 7, 8 months, and it just didn't work.
You know, and I think that's one of the tendencies that people have, is to keep trying to fix it, you know, because we all know, you know, it especially at a senior level, if you have to replace somebody, that's painful. You know, there's a, there is an expense that, you know, goes with that, whether it's, you know, there, you know, and, you know, there's just all sorts of things. And so we do think we can live with it. You know, or like you, you said, you know, they told the one person, well, you need to learn to manage differently. That's not going to happen. I mean, you know, they're managing based on their personality, based on their education, you know, all of those various things. They might be able to tweak things a little bit, but, you know, those conflicts are still going to be there. And so, you know, I think that's, you know, and we've, especially here in the States, things are very litigious. You know, you have to, it's funny, you know, we, many states are what's known here in the States as at will. You know, you can fire somebody, you have to give them a reason. But, you know, yeah, that works sometimes. And then sometimes they sue you anyway. You know, and so it gets very tricky here. And then especially with senior level management, you know, you think, well, we have to give them a severance package or all of those things. But I think so many people really just don't understand that if you don't have that team right, your business is not going to truly be successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, as I said, you know, at the beginning, people are picked for their experience and knowledge, you know, but they're not, nobody looks at, you know, how's this person going to fit in? You know, if, even if they're saying, you know, this is a great guy and, we want to, you know, get him from into a senior level from maybe a mid-management level and then up into maybe a directorship. You know, you plan succession, you know, but if the people come across someone they dislike or, you know, where there's a clash of personality, then you're going to lose that person. You know, the person you're grooming to take over, you know. It's the same with family businesses. You know, you can have you know, a son or a daughter and say, yeah, I want them to take over the business. And I've come across situations like that. And I've come across, you know, where I've talked to the workers and they say, if that person takes over, we're gone. You know, so it really does come down to, you know, what type of relationship. What's it going to look like? You know, is it going to be good? You know, what happens if, you know, and it'd be the same in partnerships where, you know, maybe two men or two women are in partnership, or maybe there's more, and one of them dies. And next minute they have the partner of that person in who, you know, just drains the business, causes all sorts of problems. And, you know, they're going, you know, so why do we ever allow this to happen? You know, so there's there's many, many situations. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've come across a lot, not all of them, but certainly a lot. You know?
Well, and diversity is one of the things. I mean, you know, and obviously it's very important, but when we're filling roles only to become diverse, you know, that's not going to work either. I mean, I remember years ago, I was asked to serve on a board. I was honored. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is great. I'm going to make great contacts. You know, I thought it was because of my experience, my connections, all of those various things. And I'm, you know, partway through my term on being there. And somebody said, we had no women. We needed women. They didn't care. I mean, that was the only box that they cared about. They didn't care in the slightest about my connections, about any of my knowledge, any of that. They wanted me simply because now they could say, we have a woman on our board. Now it actually worked out, but in many cases it doesn't, you know, and so that's tricky. And, you know, we obviously do need to have diverse teams, boards, whatever, but yeah, when they're only ticking that one box, it's, you know, probably not going to work.
Well, they've never been thought to build a team. You know, it just doesn't happen in business school. They teach conflict management, but you know, because they don't look or know how teams interact or how personalities interact, they then can't say this is going to be a good relationship or a bad relationship. You know, they just don't know until they actually put the people together.
Right.
You know, and this is where, you know, sometimes HR is not the best option, you know, because they talk in terms of human resources, you know, and people, you know, don't like that. They like to be thought of as relationships, you know. If you have a good relationship at work, they tend then to, you know, become, you know, lifelong friends. And then you know, because you know them, you can then trust them.
Right.
You know, and you know, this is another word that is being bandied around. You need to build trust, but they don't say, you know, how trust is built. You know, and it's built through the relationships that people have. You know, so you get to know someone, you get to like them, but then you get to trust them, or you know, sort of there's two ways of not trusting someone. You either know them or you don't know them. You know, so, you know, sort of, that's why you don't trust people. You know, it's very important, you know, to actually build strong teams. And it's been related to by and written about by the likes of Bain and Company, where trust has been built by allowing people to work with people they like. And in some cases, during the, say, financial collapse, you know, Bain recorded, you know, sort of one particular organization, you know, had a fabulous run during, you know, sort of what was a financial crisis, outperforming everyone and even in their own category. But they weren't able to duplicate that. You know, so knowing how to build the teams, you can then duplicate, you know, and say, so, you know, when you're picking diversity, you know, the people still have to fit in. And, you know, I came across, you know, I was at a meeting of the 30% Club, which is about, you know, getting more women in onto senior management boards and things like that. And one woman joined, you know, a board. And as they were going into the first meeting, there was a very derogatory comment made to her that the only reason she got the job was because of her anatomy. And she subsequently left the company within, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months. You know, she just said, I'm not putting up with this, and just walked, you know. But she related the story to this room of CEOs and senior managers and saying, this attitude has to stop. You know, it's not healthy, it's not productive, and you're losing good people.
I know. Well, oh my gosh, John, we've only got a couple minutes left. I mean, this has been so much fun. We definitely have to continue this discussion. And so we will have you on again, because I think this is just absolutely critical for us to be thinking about this. And whether it's your family dynamics, You know, we all, you know, many of us serve on nonprofit boards or we volunteer. I mean, all of these things, plus then we're employees or we have staff, you know, all of these, I think it's so important. But if someone wants to work with you now, how do they find you and connect with you?
Most people connect with me through my website, which is www.corporate121.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's also a recording there of an interview I did on live radio, where the presenter actually asked, you know, would I do this particular profile and talk about it on air, not realizing that he brought the people, you know, one person into the studio and the other two were on the phone. So I didn't realize that was going to happen. I thought I was just going to talk about the report.
Uh-huh. And there they were.
And there they were. The other way is email. Mm-hmm. So the email is very, very simple. It's corp, C-O-R-P, and again, the number is 121@gmail.com.
Perfect.
So either way, people can connect with me, literally send me a connection request, pose a question, and I'll see what I can help them with, you know, sort of if it necessitates a review of the, a team or something like that, yes, that can be done, and it can be done remotely. That, you know, I don't have to travel, you know, to different parts of the world.
Gotta love technology.
yeah. And then I always follow up with a conversation, you know, how to fix that problem, how to bridge the gap between the different personalities who may or may not be in conflict.
Right. Yeah. I love it. Well, this really has been absolutely fascinating. And, you know, and like I said, I can't wait to do it again. Do you have any final thoughts for everyone?
They need to start thinking differently. I mean, psychometrics was good in its day, but the world has moved on. People are voting with their feet. So in order to retain those good people, in order to outdo the competition, in order to, you know, be a good CEO who profits and then can demand a decent salary or benefits or whatever, you need to start looking at them. You need to think of people as in relationships. You know, if they're not happy, they're not going to be productive. So a happy person, you know, will go that extra mile, will give the extra effort, and that's what you want.
Great. So, I love it. I love it. You know, this really has been fascinating, and I can't wait to do it again, and so we will. But until then, I'm Deb Creer. I've been having a fascinating discussion talking with John Rankin, and until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.